This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio, and it is that time of year, Christmas right around the corner. And for those procrastinators out there looking for some last-minute holiday gifts, maybe you have a friend or relative who's a bookworm, you're in luck, because you can shop at all sorts of great local bookstores in the area, among them McIntyre's Fine Books at Farrington Village, the Regulator Bookshop in Durham, Quail Ridge Books and Music in Raleigh, and in Chapel Hill, Flyleaf Books. And joining us now to talk about the books you ought to pick up this Christmas is Jamie Fiocco, who owns Flyleaf Books in Chapel Hill. Jamie, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us, Sam Montgomery Blinn, the publisher of Bull Spec Speculative Fiction Magazine. Hello, Sam.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
You recently put out a book guide for this year, the year of 2013. Was it all speculative fiction?
It was almost all speculative fiction. We've done this for the fourth year in a row now, and this year it grew to, I think, 45 adult books and then additional young adult books. And even so, I had some great local reads of some what I call non-genre fiction, the literary fiction this year. And so I added an appendix at the end for a few of those books.
Well, tell us about one of them.
At the end, I'm sure this is a book we'll talk about, but Look Away, Look Away by Wilton Barnhart is a great book for North Carolina readers and authors. He's an NC State professor, and his book is just skewers everyone across the aisles, across North Carolina's landscape. It's set in Charlotte, and it's just a fun, funny novel of this portrait of this family, this old Southern family, or are the old Southern family, and the trials and travails that they do to try to maintain that through the early 2000s.
So, Jamie, what kind of a year was it at Flyleaf Books? And just in terms of publishing, you know, we keep hearing that publishing is on its last legs. Was it a good, robust year? Lots of good new stuff out there?
Oh, wow. Yes. It's been a great year for Flyleaf. Where our sales have exceeded last year's already. Right. We're thrilled about that. And it really was a banner year for local authors. I know Sam has some local authors on his list, but there are also some great fiction releases this year from some really heavy hitters and also from some newbies.
All right. Well, we'll talk about them in detail. And Sam, I guess we'll start with you. Give us a quick list, some of the top books this year.
All right. Well, I'll start with my sci-fi and fantasy books that I really liked. Chapel Hill author Ariel Janikian has a book out from Viking called The Office of Mercy. And it was kind of billed as a grown-up version of The Hunger Games, or The Hunger Games for people who are a little bit older now. And it's not really like The Hunger Games other than it's kind of a dystopian near future. But it's written with a real strong sensibility. And the Office of Mercy, the titular Office of Mercy in the book, it features the protagonist who basically her job is from these kind of dystopian enclaves. Her job is to actually watch these remote monitors and kill these surviving humans who are out there in the wild. There's some kind of unexplained environmental catastrophe that has happened. And so they watch these kind of tribes of free humans out there. And when it looks like they may be suffering too much, or if they're not getting quite enough food, the Office of Mercy is there to make sure there's no more suffering.
You know why that's implausible? Because here in North Carolina, we cannot have an environmental catastrophe, like from global warming, because they outlawed it.
That's true.
You cannot have sea rise because of the King Canute law, because some guy on the coast said he didn't want to hear the bad news. So that's crazy talk here in North Carolina. We've outlawed catastrophe.
You know, I haven't read too many sci-fi novels that really address that. Hopefully that's going to come, because that's, you know, a fairly new thing. But the sci-fi writers or the literary writers are going to pick up on that, and we'll see more and more about that, I'm sure.
People who try to outlaw nature.
Right, and see how that goes for them.
Jamie, what about you? Top picks.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'd say some of the very top are releases from Lee Smith, Guests on Earth, Jill McCorkle, Life After Life, Alan Gerganis, Local Souls. Daniel Wallace earlier in the year had Kings and Queens of Rome. Wilton Barnhart's book is wonderful, too. But we just have some folks who are awfully good at what they do, and they've released, I think it was 17 years for Jill since her last novel, yeah. And it's just fantastic.
It's been well for Alan, too, right?
Absolutely. His book is a collection of loosely related novellas. And Jill makes you laugh and cry on the same page. And Lee Smith's book has a tie-in to Zelda Fitzgerald, which has also been a big topic this year in literature.
In Asheville.
Yes.
And I think that's certainly the great thing about doing this show, and what must be great about having a local bookstore in the Triangle or anywhere in North Carolina, so much great talent here, and
oh,
they
yeah.
come our way, and it's my job to read their books and talk to these fabulous authors, and you get to see them in the store as well and all around the area, which helps, I suppose, if you're talking. So, Jamie, let me ask you, and we'll talk more about these books in a second. You must talk to other bookstore owners in other parts of the country who may not be doing as well generally. I mean, or do they? And to what extent does having this reading culture and writing culture here in North Carolina help for an independent bookstore?
It's a good question. An independent bookstore is a reflection of its community. And I think that there's some awfully good bookstores that didn't make it because the community just wasn't able to either financially or in other ways to support the store. Mm. I think here in the Triangle area where we have, number one, we have great independent bookstores, the Regulator, Quail Ridge, Flyleaf, McIntyre's. And I think it's because we have universities where you have writers who are teaching, interacting with students. Those students come along. Some of those better students, perhaps, or more talented students get introduced to the publishers that are publishing their current professors. I think that there's kind of a self-fulfilling cycle here. And then you have a lot of aspiring writers who maybe aren't associated with the universities, and they get to actually, at these independent bookstores, get to meet these authors in person. And Jill McCorkle was saying the other night, she said, hey, I can do that. If that's a real person writing these books, I can do that too. And I think it's a great sense of inspiration.
And certainly at NC State, when it comes to sci-fi mm-hmm. and speculative fiction, some great writing coming out of there, right?
Absolutely. John Kessel has been kind of this generative force, and student after student of his has gone on to either stick around and write or go forth and write and then teach further. I mean, there's multi-generations of that happening. He's probably got a great grandchild of literary sci-fi writing out there in the world somewhere where student of a student of a student.
Yes, and then they will go back in time and they will pick up an axe and John will ever have been born.
Maybe that's his next book.
You can write a book about that, can't you?
No, I cannot.
Orson Scott Card, local guy.
So yeah, he's in Greensboro, and some people don't seem to realize how local he is. He's obviously a bit of a controversial figure.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't believe in global warming.
Among other things, but
he's a sci-fi writer.
He's a sci-fi writer, and he's very supportive of the other North Carolina sci-fi writers. Yeah. He blurbs books, he runs workshops, and
terrific writer.
And he had two new books this year. Earth of Fire is the second book in a prequel series to Ender's Game, which of course had big headlines this year, both for being in the new film and the boycott of the new film. But it's a prequel series set in the war before that war, and he also has a second book in his young adult fantasy series, The Lost Gate, which is a book, kind of a contemporary fantasy with basically every pantheon of every religion exists, and going from there, if these weird fantasy multi-world gate things happen.
Sounds great. Jamie, one of your picks is the 27 Views series of books. Tell us about those books.
Well, what's nice about that is you have a local publisher, two women who have really looked into each community. They currently have 27 views of Chapel Hill, 27 views of Durham, Raleigh, and Hillsboro. And it's wonderful because they take, and I know they actively tried to get voices from different parts of the community, both folks who are established writers and older, and then younger up-and-coming writers. There's some poetry. There's not all of it is entirely complimentary of the community, but they do address issues within each community, and they're a wonderful gift.
And speaking of John Kessel, he has a story in the 27 Views of Raleigh, which came out this year. So.
Yeah, and in all of those books, again, Jim, you talked about bookstores and books essentially reflecting the local community. And when it's a book, when you make an effort to reflect your community in literature, it's a way of saying we don't all just have to go shop at box stores
right.
to be who we are, and the names of those crossroads where the big malls are, that's who we are. In a place like the Triangle and in North Carolina, we can look to a literary context to understand who we are and celebrate that. And again, all kinds of voices, so established writers and newbies who then can come along. It's a great idea. Sam, The Office of Mercy is one of your picks. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we talked about that one at the beginning of Ariel Janikian's book, kind of the Hunger Games kind of feel of the dystopia. But that was one of many debut novels this year. I think publishers took a couple years off of risk, and then this year, at least this year, had just a large number of new novels. Jay Posey had a post-apocalyptic book called Three, his first novel. The Secret of G is this fantasy series from France that a local translator, Matt Ross, translated. And again, that was his first project ever in publishing. and that another one. Merle Afferty, a Durham author who's been working a long time, but this was her debut really published novel, The Shambling Guide to New York City, which is a fantastically funny, sarcastic novel of a fake travel guide set in New York City for the undead who live in New York City. It's great. And then an Asheville writer, Nathan Ballingrid, amazing writer. His stories can make your test tighten up as you read them. It's amazing, powerful fiction. And his collection this year is North American Lake Monsters. And that's another book that I think for the readers who really want something heavy and hard, those are books that take serious looks at what it means to be a human in this time. And it's, some of them are dark fantasy, some of them are horror, some of them are just fiction, but they're all powerful stories.
Tell us about the evolution of spec fiction and sci-fi. Is it evolving? Do you see more robust threads in the literary versions of spec and sci-fi? And are there other genres, not genres, but subgenres or tentacles that are sort of branching off in these fields?
Yeah, absolutely. From writers like Margaret Atwood, who defiantly says her books are not science fiction, yet they're post-apocalyptic wastelands with all kinds of things going on that couldn't really happen right now. But the literary establishment, I think more and more, is rediscovering this idea of plot. It's been this thing where it's been really leaning toward characterization, and it will continue for that because there's such a gravity to that, and those books are so good. But I think a lot of literary authors are really rediscovering plot, and one way to have an interesting plot is to have interesting things happen, and for interesting things to happen, sometimes sci-fi and fantasy can come right in.
Yeah, and we've talked about all these authors, and we're going to talk about more, but we've talked with most of them, as I said, on the program, so if you want to go to our website, look them up. You can hear the conversations about their books when they appeared on this show, and we talked about Jill McCorkle briefly. Jamie, tell us about her latest book and why you love it so much.
Oh, Life After Life. And I think we're very fortunate in this area. If you have a chance to hear any of these authors read their own work, it's a real treat to be able to read later works in their voice. And Jill has a wonderful reading voice. And, Jill writes books in which the characters are completely believable. As I'm reading the novel, I'll pop out to the grocery store and I'm like, I wonder if that person could be this character in her book. They're so completely believable. Really, that can be said for Alan and Lee as well, but it's you just feel like you're reading about what's going on behind closed doors in your own town.
Yeah, and with Jill and Lee too, I think in some ways these characters are very believable. They're very warm, and then all of a sudden they're moving into Sam Blinn's area of the world. There's a whole lot of dystopia in their lives that just comes off sounding sweet as a bell.
Absolutely.
That's kind of sweet stuff.
Well, yeah, you talk about passing laws to defy global warming. I think a lot of writers are exploring these themes because we don't see a way past what's going on right now. I think there's this idea of writing about a dystopia because if you look forward and try to project, it doesn't look too pretty sometimes. Yeah. So I think a lot of these themes are completely infecting our fiction as well.
It's a way to get a voice. Let's see. Another pick of yours, Sam, The Returned, which is being made into a TV show. It's made it to the TV.
I know. I can't believe we didn't mention that one. So Jason Mott is a Wilmington author and a poet. And his book was getting unbelievable early reviews. Before it was even published, it was optioned by Brad Pitt to be an ABC TV series in the spring. And the trailer and pilot for that look amazing. I'm really looking forward to it. And it reads like a TV show. It's got very good pacing, great, great characters left and right, lots of things going on. And to tell you about the novel itself, the premise is basically this elderly couple in North Carolina are just kind of hanging out. And they get a knock at the door. And it's their long lost, long ago dead young son who has returns to their door. They're returned unchanged completely. And this is happening all over the world. Dead people are just showing back up unchanged from the day that they died, maybe 30, 50, hundreds of years later. Famous artists, musicians, lots of interesting things going on. And the dynamic there between the parents and trying to discover, is this son human? What's going on here? And there's concentration camps that start to get built for these. So we kind of examine how we treat other maybe marginalized groups in our society. I think we got a really interesting novel, and it's really no surprise that it's going to be a TV series.
Oh, yeah, it's infinite, right? You can just keep having plus story after story after story. I want to get to Alan Gerganis' new book, who we had a chance to talk with him again, and it's a wonderful collection of stories, Jamie.
Oh, it is, and it's just – it really does, as Alan is so good at, delves into that southern, the dark side of this, of southern not voyeurism, but he's so good at describing everyday happenstance meetings or observances, and he turns it into an entire fascinating story, and they're really captivating, and he's so good at talking about Jason Mott and being visual. Alan is a very visual writer for me, at least as a reader. And some of his characters I just cannot get out of my head from that collection.
Well, he can expose the dark side, but you always know that who's ever telling the story loves this place. And they're going to show you the warts and all, and you're going to see it and feel it in all of its depths and sometimes darkness. But this author clearly loves this place, and
absolutely,
that's where it comes from.
And he's a very funny man. Yeah. The characters are, albeit some may have a dark side, they also have a very fun and laughable side.
And Lee Smith tells us she's finally written this book about the asylum in Asheville that features Zelda Fitzgerald.
Yes, she was. I know that this was something that Lee was working on for a long time, and her son Josh was at the same hospital where Zelda Fitzgerald had received treatment, and Lee tells a story about one day walking up a hill towards the hospital with Josh, and the hospital was backlit, and she kind of had a bit of a revelation, and she had been doing research about the hospital itself and found that there was a fire where a number of women, including Zelda Fitzgerald, perished, and it just prompted her to write the story.
All right. So in the words of George Bush, get out there and shop and buy a book, buy many books, because there's lots of great offerings. And I want to thank you, Jamie Fiocco, the owner of Flyleaf Books, for being with us and sharing your picks. And Sam Montgomery Blinn, publisher of Bull Spec Speculative Fiction. Thank you both for being on the show today.
Thank you.
And if you want more information about any of the things that we've talked about and also links to conversations with many of the authors that we've talked about, you can go to our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Alex Granados, Laura Lee, Sean Wen, and Nicole Campbell. Robin Copley is our technical director, Brent Wolf, the news director, and this is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.